So back a few months ago, I presented an exercise we did called Setting the Arena. And I want to do that again today because I'm looking for some audience participation. I love that. So the first question we asked ourselves in order to produce a delightful outcome out of every interaction is, who am I willing to be in order to produce an extraordinary result out of this interaction? Not just any result, but an extraordinary result. So on this first slide, we have the first question, and I would like you to go ahead and repeat that. I'm going to ask in parts, and we'll repeat it in parts. Okay, you ready? Okay, who am I willing to be in order to produce an extraordinary result out of this interaction? And once we set that, then we can look at our qualities of being, which is on the next slide. There's 23 qualities of being that all reside within us. And we could pick any three in this moment, and they can change, but at this moment, pick any three. What I would like to say for myself is, I'm willing to be attentive, present, and grateful. And you can pick out any three that you want at this moment. And then after that, when we set that tone, then we ask the second question of ourselves. Am I willing to systematically dismantle my structure of knowing? So let's repeat that in pieces. Am I willing to systematically dismantle my structure of knowing? Great. So we've set that arena, which means that I'm willing to be open to another possibility for a delightful outcome for all involved. Now, I have these cards that I made up last time. I have some extras here. They're called Setting the Arena. So we have two questions on the front and the qualities of beings on the back. So you can take this around with you wherever you go. You can put it in your wallet whenever you're a little frustrated at the grocery store. Okay, what am I willing to be right now? I'm willing to be attentive, grateful. So it's an exercise for you to take with you. They're at the tables going on the exit. So my goal today, or the sharing today, is to delve deeper into the knowing that the grace of God flows through us and expresses each of us in all that we do. So the Latin for, so let's talk about grace. So the Latin for grace is act of thanks. And there's other definitions for the word grace, right? Kindness, gift, unmerited favor, goodwill, mercy. And our famous Unity minister, Eric Butterworth, wrote that grace is simply an explanation of a wonderful facet of activity of God in all of us. It is not something to work for. It simply is. You do not have to earn grace because we are it. That's cool. Grace is not something that comes only to the good, right? It comes through all alike because we are all alike as expressions of God. So it is the aspect of divine law that does not deal in even exchanges. Grace deals with the increase of good through greater giving. There's no limit to it. God's grace is a gift beyond measure, a love that defies logic. It's kindness that surpasses understanding. It's the heartbeat of our faith, reminding us that we are never alone. And grace, of course, ties in with our Unity basic principles, especially principle number one, right? That there is only one presence and one power in the universe and in my life, the all-loving goodness of God, right? This divine energy underlies and animates all that there is in existence, including each one of us, despite all the differences that we may think we have. That's not what the principle is about, is that we are all part of God. And then principle number three is that we are co-creators with God in this life. Therefore, we are God in action. And through grace, we are God in action. And our thoughts have the creative powers, right? They shape our reality. They're doing that right in this very moment. So by holding positive, uplifting thoughts in our minds, we actively participate in shaping our experiences and circumstances. Unity 101, right on. So when I was a young teen, we lived in Ohio for a couple of years, another story. But there was a place called Kings Island, Ohio. Has anybody ever been to Kings Island, Ohio? There's one, very nice. Thank you for being here all the way over in California. So in this, at this park, they had the biggest, baddest, fastest roller coaster in the world. It was called the Racer back in the day. I don't know if it's still there or not. Not getting any... So my father dared me to go on the Racer. We were at the park that day. He dared me to go on the Racer, and I took him up on it, which kind of freaked him out a little bit. He didn't think I was going to do that. Then we wondered which one of us was going to go on with us, right? And everybody else chickened out, except my dad and I. We decided, okay, we're going to go. We're going to do this thing. So we're in these long lines. Are you going to chicken out? No, I'm not going to chicken out. Are you going to chicken out? No, I'm not going to chicken out. So we're getting through the line, and we get into our seat. The bar comes down, and my stomach starts to, oh, what have I got myself into here? I was 12. So I felt the chain. This is my first time on a roller coaster, right? The chain was tugging us underneath, up that great giant steel mountain, which must have gone up 1,000 feet to infinity. I was terrified, but I could see for miles. It was like I was in an airplane. And all of a sudden, it crested down, of course, into the abyss. Where are we going? Oh, my God, we'll never survive this. Could this be it? I locked arms with my dad, too terrified to scream. I remember praying to God to help us get through this. The G-forces, the next hill, the next curve, with the arms locked and their eyes barely open. It was just a race, and before I knew it, the car flew into the station at 2,000 miles an hour, and boom, we stopped. Oh, we made it. So I jumped out of the car, and for the first time I said, thank you, God. Thank you, God. And I wanted nothing more than to do it again. Right? Because I knew God would be with me. More than a few times in my life, I felt like I was reliving that feeling of being in that roller coaster again. Anyone else ever felt that way along the course of life? The ups and the downs and the curves. When I was younger, it was all about getting out in the world and getting it done, whatever it was, the harder it was, the better. Then after a few decades of the roller coaster of different construction projects everywhere, the push-pull of what I had to be supposed was pushed to be doing every single day, day in and day out, finally changed shape this summer for the first time. Yet along with life challenges, there's always been other challenges, the challenges of being a professional, being part of life, and then also all the social media challenges. I think they're very challenging and very overwhelming. At least they are for me as a card-carrying introvert. I don't know if you're a card-carrying introvert. I know I am. The constant social media inputs do not help my heart be calm. The Twitter X talking heads, urgent news feeds do not help calm my Instagram and my TikTok anxieties. The urgencies of environmental issues and animal rights and human rights and Politico and competition at every level do not help keep my heart calm. Each day I don't know what the right shirt is to wear, what vitamins to take. I'm so confused. Is that what the Rolling Stones were referring to almost 60 years ago? I can't get no satisfaction, no peace in my mind. There are many ways that to notice that God's grace is in our lives, yet it can seem difficult because we're so distracted by all the messages that are being sent our way every single minute. Unless we take the time to turn off the phone. It's so nice in here at this very moment, right? There's no phones going off. And feeling gratitude for the grace of God in that moment and the moment we experience in that meditation. That's also why we go to the ocean or to the mountains, or for me, process painting, is our own special place to help us disconnect. Even for a few minutes, it's such a huge help. To feel the grace of God upon our face, to know deeply that we are loved, That takes practice, unfortunately. It just does. To let go and let God be God in and as our life. So one great thing, of course, about coming to church on Sunday is we get the opportunity to step off the roller coaster for a little bit and to enjoy the energy and the openness that moment of silence gives us. To hopefully hear that small voice within speak to us in subtle and powerful ways. So here we are, so blessed by God on this beautiful day. We can be together. So audience participation, let's breathe that in. Dear Lord, thank you for being with us and through us with all your grace, bringing us together. Thank you, God. Just to acknowledge that, doesn't that feel good? So there was a gentleman recently. Let's call him Don. Don makes his transition and goes to heaven. Of course, St. Peter's there in front of the pearly gates. And St. Peter says, here's how it works. You need 100 points to make it into heaven. You tell me all the good things you've done, and I'll give you a certain number of points for each item. And depending on how good it goes, when you reach 100 points, then you get in. Gee, okay, Don says. Well, I was married to the same woman for 30 years, and I was always faithful. Well, that's wonderful, said St. Peter. I'll give you 5 points. Oh, golly. Well, let's try this one. Well, I attended church all my life and supported its ministry with tithe and service. Well, that's terrific, says St. Peter. I'll give you another 5 points. What? Now, what am I going to do? So he says, I started a soup kitchen in my neighborhood, and I helped homeless veterans. Well, very good. I'll give you another 5 points for that. 5 points, Don cries. Oh, at this rate, the only way I can get into heaven is by the grace of God. Exactly. That's it. You're in. Bravo. The grace of God. Sorry, I couldn't help that. I love that. A great Thomas Merton, author, mystic and monk, wrote that the purpose of art is washing the dust of daily life off of our souls. And I really believe that. Art enables us to find ourselves and lose ourselves at the same time. So my experience is that God's grace shows up even in artwork. During process, arts has kept me and my mind creative and my spiritual side exercised so that my ego doesn't drive me off the rails. It's been really helpful for me. And I can't help myself being such a visual learner. And as some of you know, I've been working to change my long career, which has been a tough transition, one of my own making, of course, because we like to make our life hard sometimes, don't we? Am I the only one? So I'd like to share this painting I did a few months ago. What I did was feeling that the first thing that came to me when a vision or a piece of image comes to me, I have to paint it. I just have to paint it or sketch it out. So the first thing that came to me, the only thing that came to me was the ship. I got to paint this ship. I was telling my wife, Diane, I got to paint this ship. I'm busy right now. I got to paint this ship. And then once the ship was done, then there was more and more elements that showed up. The man in the river, of course, a self-portrait. Well, thank you for that zoom in. Working to push this mighty ship from the rocky river travails of the past into the calm waters at the Y. The push for a new future. The ship, of course, represents my need for security, identity, my structure of beliefs, my structure of knowing, and the baggage of all sorts. The rocks and steel that were once my foundation are left behind on the lower banks of the river. And after those images were painted, I needed and prayed to God to help me with the emotional heaviness of it all. I did not feel that the boat could be moved into a new river. As there was too much resistance, it was just too heavy, and I could feel it in my body. There's something missing. What is it? Then the image of the hand appeared on the back of the ship that had to be painted. And it appeared with the words, I have always been here to help you steer your ship. And it was so meaningful to me. It still is. there but the grace of God go I, right? So we can do things to help us realize that the grace of God is always flowing through us. It's always part of what we're doing. So I wanted to ask you, talk about audience participation. What are some examples of ways we have received grace and or have expressed grace of God in the world? Now, I'd like to take a few minutes for you to share just a short sentence or two and share a time when you were saved by grace. For example, when I was 20 years old, I was racing motorcycles, which was really crazy, right? Of course, there's no helmets back then. And I crashed my bike, and I flew about 30 feet across an intersection. And I did not break a single bone in my body. And the only reason I survived, in my belief, is through the grace of God. There's no other reason why I survived that, but through the grace of God. Or we can share a time when God's grace through you helped someone else. So I'd like to ask, would anybody like to share first? We have two ushers with microphones so we can hear your short story. And we have one right there. So thank you for being willing to share a couple stories with us. Hi. It's okay. The boys in the booth are going to help you with that. Just say on.
Hi. And many of you know this story because you shared it with me before. 8 years ago, I was in Boston. I was coming home, and I flagged down. I won't say what kind of a car, but you know the kind of car that drives you to the airport. And I got in. I couldn't find my seatbelt, and I thought, oh, well, it's just 12 miles. Even though I always put on the seatbelt, someone tucked it in. I couldn't find it. And then I heard my mother's voice. My mother's been dead for 17 years. My mother's voice say, buckle up. And I slid over, and I buckled up my seatbelt. And 8 minutes later, the car turned over. The driver hit a truck and three cars. And there, but the grace of God, I would not have survived had it not been.
The grace of God. Thank you for sharing that. Mike, we have a gentleman over here.
Like this? Or like this? Okay, I'm 18 years old. I just got my driver's license. And my dad had this old Buick convertible. And I'm driving this car. And I have two friends with me, a fellow by the name of Don Duker and a girl by the name of Renee. And so Don was kind of a jerk. And so we're driving, and he's sitting in the passenger seat, and he's standing up in the convertible. And I say, Don, will you sit down? But Don was just so pigheaded, he wouldn't sit down. And I thought, well, I saw on the road ahead of me, I saw there was a weeping willow tree. And nobody had cut it in years. Mm-hmm. And it had grown all the way to the street. And I said, well, this is my opportunity, a God-given opportunity. I'm going to teach Don a lesson. So I drive into the weeping willow tree. You know, so I can't see what's ahead of me now. And all of a sudden, a voice in my head screamed, stop, stop. And I slammed on the brakes. And then, you know how the weeping willow tree, if you get into the middle of it, the branches aren't there anymore, so you can see. Well, anyway, the front of my car went into the weeping willow tree. And there, as I came to a stop, there was a young kid, a young boy, on a bicycle. He was leaning back like this, and the front of my big, heavy Buick convertible was over the front of his bike. And I said to him, he had this terrified look on his face. I have never forgotten it. But he also had a joyful look on his face, too. And I said, are you okay? He says, yeah, I'm fine, I'm fine. But if I would have continued, I would have killed him. I would have my life would not be the way it is now. But that voice that said that was a gift from God, and that's the grace of God.
Thank you for sharing that. Mike, look to the over here.
Hi, I'll never forget this one. I lived in Japan for about 5 years, and it was January 17th, 1995. I'll never forget it. And the Kobe earthquake came, and everything around me went down except for my building. And something said, "You're going to be okay. All is well." It was so powerful. To this day, I can feel it. So I really knew that I was going to live, and I knew that I was going to get out. It took me a while, but I did. So I'll never forget that one.
Wow.
Thank you.
That's big. Thank you.
I was on the Bay Bridge going into San Francisco, and there was a big truck in front of me that had a bunch of construction things in the back that were not tied down. And some of it was the corner stuff, the I forget what to call it. But anyway, it was really windy, of course, and it was flying. It started flying out, and I was like, oh, my God, oh, my God. So then a second, it just happened. It all went up and over, and I saw it coming straight at me. And I closed my eyes, and I just knew that it was time. And I just started praying, thank you, God, for my life. I just started saying thank you. And they all hit my car, and I opened my eyes, and I was fine.
Hmm. Must have been a scary moment. Thank you. We have
the year was about 1974. I was in Venice, California, parked at the curb with my husband in the driver's seat and my son in the back of the car. And a man came up with a gun and put it in my husband's head and said, "I'm holding you up." And I said, "How dare you? My son is sleeping in the back of the car." And he said, "Thank you. I never hold up women and children," and walked away, gave the money back, and walked away.
All right. A finely channeled voice.
Well, this is my one-year anniversary of the Godsmack. And the Godsmack was when I was, a year ago, I was on fentanyl, methamphetamine, and living, like, my worst life. And I prayed in my garden, and I reminded God of his promise to me to help me because I'd been praying about it. And that night, I slept, walked, and took 6 opiate blockers and ended up in the intensive care unit at John Muir for 3 days fighting against 4-point restraints. And when I woke up, I couldn't smoke a cigarette. I smoked a pack a day for 37 years. I can't eat meat anymore. I can't do any drugs, obviously. And the big miracle was all of my resentment and anger. I hated my mom. I didn't talk to her for 14 years. I didn't talk to my dad for 8. I talk to them both every week now. I don't know if that's a blessing. But I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding. Totally kidding about that. But yeah, so God, I'm grateful every single day. It's just been a wonderful, wonderful thing. Miracles every day since then. And that's it.
Thank you for sharing.
It's hard to follow that one, Jody, because... Yeah, I feel your God smack every time I'm with you. I've had a lot of, I feel like a big hand has come down a lot of points in my life. But I was, my kids were teenagers. I was at the Lafayette Library, and I was walking in, and it's a small little parking lot, and I was going this way. And little did I know that a woman in a big car was backing into my back. And as I was going to the ground to be completely run over, because when a car hits you, even going slow, it takes you down. A man in a big truck. There's all these trees. He couldn't see the parking lot. Mm. This huge truck screams around. I can see him from my side. Screams around. A man jumps out and screams, "Stop!" And the woman stops, pardon me, at the top of his lungs in this parking lot. This truck didn't even fit in to the lot, nor could he see in. And it was literally as I was almost to the ground, and the woman stopped. I got up, because I wasn't really hurt, except I would have been dead. And I went to thank him, and they were all gone. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, yeah. So. You know, and I was just stuck.
Any voice will do, though, in those situations, right?
It all worked. It was within seconds.
Yeah. Well. Yes, sir.
I'm going to stay seated because my knees don't cooperate well. Mine is much less dramatic. About in January of 2020, I retired. And that opened up a whole opportunity to explore. What am I doing in my life? Am I being with people the way I want to be? What direction am I taking? What makes sense? What feels right? And I knew I was going to go forward, but I didn't know how I was going to get there. So there's a whole lot of choices, but it wasn't certain which ones to make. Mm-hmm. So one night I went to sleep, and in this dream, just two words came to me. They were, "God guides." And allowed me to realize that there's something within and around that I can trust, that's always there. And if I just get out of my own way and listen and pay attention and keep it simple, I'll probably get to wherever it is I'm supposed to go. And that was my God shot.
Very nice. Thank you very much. One more.
Last one. 2 weeks ago, I was at the YMCA and always this little turnaround thing. Someone had parked just slightly in the red, and my car, which is uber long, just grazed the bumper, right? No one saw it. I'm just like, ugh. And something in me just would not let me just, you know, do nothing. And I left a note on the car, and not only, you know, I'm going to pay for the damages, but the woman who I'm helping she recently lost her husband. She's disabled, and I've become a friend to her, and it's just been a really sweet karmic exchange, and I felt like this is God speaking.
Nice. Thank you for that sharing. So extending grace doesn't mean tolerating harmful behavior. It's about choosing kindness, understanding, and forgiveness, even when it's not easy. When I think about giving grace or using God's grace in our world, I think about our prayer chaplains, for sure, and people that give Reiki and Jenny's workshop on Friday to help us with centering. And all these different people, when we save an animal, when we're lending a hand to our neighbor, random acts of kindness. So we are always God in action. To think about that, no matter what's going on around us, that we can be of service because God is calling us to be there at a particular time. And so by doing so, we contribute to a more compassionate and connected world. I mean, Christopher Robin said to Winnie the Pooh, right? "Promise me you'll always remember that you are braver than you believe. You're braver than you believe. You're stronger than you seem and smarter than you think." As we listen, it is our calling to be challenged, to grow in the world. It is to discover the greatness and the grace that we are on our hero's journey, each one of us. We can choose and accept that the world is a diverse, friendly place in which we learn to support each other in grace as God does for us. To be participants in the revelation of humanity and be a part of a more peaceful life by understanding that our world is made by bringing our own true inner qualities of being and grace to every moment. To know that the grace of God flows through each of us and expresses as us in all that we do. So our affirmation for today, let's bring that up, is in personal form. The grace of God flows through me and expresses as me in all that I do. Let's repeat that together. The grace of God flows through me and expresses as me in all that I do. And so it is. Thank you.